Well, good afternoon, all of you. Now, here's a quick review of my last family message. Let's look at Matthew 12, really quick. This is going to be 2-3 minute long review. Matthew 12, verses 48 to 50. Now, Jesus had just been informed that there were family members that wanted to see him. So what did he say? Matthew 12, 48. He replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Verse 49, pointing to his disciples, and I like to do this, pointing to his disciples, that's the way Jesus did it. He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." Verse 50, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus said, in essence, those who do the will of God are his family. That's what he was saying. If we do the will of God, if we do the will of Jesus' Father in heaven, then we are, in fact, the family of God. Now, let's stay right there in the idea of family and now turn to 1 John. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, and I just want to read one verse here. 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God," right now. "Therefore, the world does not know us because," why? "Because it didn't know him." World doesn't know us as children of God. Why? Because it didn't know Jesus when he was on earth as being God's son. We're the children of God, not tomorrow, not in the world beyond today, but right now. We are the children of God. But I want to ask a question. Do your neighbors see you that way? Do they, you know, when you drive home in the evening or in the afternoon or whatever it is, do they go, "Whoa, I'm a child of God, I recognize it"? No, at least they don't to me. Maybe they do to you, but they don't to me. Even though there are literally dozens of so-called Christian churches in this world, most of them do not really know what children of God are. And the reason for this is because most people do not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, really personally. Now, they may think they do. They may think they do. They think, "Well, I know him as well as I can know him." Maybe. Let me just say, breaking away from my scripted message, I've met people in the churches of the world that do a much better job than moi. So, I'm not putting them down at all. When we were camping, I've gotten off my message, so I have to get back to it because I only have 15 minutes. Well, okay, Mr. Weber said I can go ahead and break out. When we were camping two weeks ago, there were some Christians up there, and if you want to know all about them, you can ask Suzanne because she's got a better memory than me. But our son William went over because of his heart and his spirit. And he just got right into the thing. They were making music and singing and all that. And he just got in there and did it with them. And I talked with them a little bit. And they were nice people. And the reason why they were there is because they were bringing the inner city youth from L.A. up to the Sierras. And they had never seen it before. You know, these are kids that had never gone camping like we do every year. For 50 years, you know, we've been doing that, but now I'll get back to my message. The family of God is vitally important. But I want to keep within that concept. Most of them do not really know what children of God are. And the reason for that is because most people do not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus. In order to really know him, in order to know Jesus really, you have to know and agree with what he taught. And then you have to do what he said to do. It's not enough to just, I got my book here. I was showing April Walker how beat up it is. I pretty much know that thing. But unless I practice it, unless I'm aware of what it says to do and do it, as Mr. Shaby was telling us or me this morning when I watched it on video, it doesn't do any good. You have to practice it. You have to know what it says, but then you have to live it. So, have to move right along. Let's go to Luke 14 right now. In Luke 14, I'll give you a little background. In Luke 14, verses 15 to 33, that's quite a bit to read, but the people that were there in Jerusalem were engaged in a friendly, if it was Jerusalem, could have been up north. But anyway, they were engaged in a friendly, exciting conversation. And the conversation that they were having prompted one of the listeners to say, Luke 14, verse 15, whoa, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Verse 16, Jesus replied with his story. You know, it got him going, and he said, well, let me tell you something. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I just bought a field and I have to go check it out. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pair of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Verse 20. Another said, I just got married. And you know what that means. I got stuff to do. So I can't come. Buying and selling and even marriage. Even marriage can be a distraction, can be an interruption. It can change what God actually wants us to be thinking about mostly. Verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was, this is God. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the street and alleys of the town and invite, now listen to this, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. I want to say something here. Brethren, that may be literally true, and I think it was literally true, but I want you to think about how Jesus spoke. He spoke in parables all the time. The parables had double meaning. So when you see the poor, blind, lame, and all those things, think in your head, in the back of your head, what else could it mean? I'm not saying it's not literally true in the story that Jesus was telling, but it could mean even more. Continuing on here, it says, verse 22, after the servant had done this, he called the poor, the blind, the crippled. He reported, there's still room. There's still room. There's still room for more. So the master said, now listen to this. Go into the country lanes and behind the hedges. I like that. Go into the country lanes and behind the hedges where we live. This is the truth. Wasn't in my notes. We have a homeless guy that lives down the hill. Is that what Jesus was talking about? I don't know, you know, I don't know, but it's what it says in the hedges, in the hedges. Let's see if I lost my place. And urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be filled. Verse 24, for none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. Brethren, that gives us a whole lot to think about. to consume and digest, but there's still more. Now, let me read verses 25 to 33, and this time I'm going to read it in the NLT, the New Living Translation. A large crowd was following Jesus because they liked to hear what he preached. He turned around and he said to them, verse 26, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, and I like this translation, it's a good one, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father, your mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even your own life. That's a good translation. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple, verse 27. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, verse 28, and this one's a kicker. But don't begin until you count the cost. I mean, Jesus was being honest. It's going to take everything that you have to follow him properly. But don't begin. Don't even start until you count the cost. Now, skip to verse 33. Jesus said, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Now, again, brethren, I don't think that those words are hard to understand, but they are or can be incredibly difficult to do. They're not hard to understand in any translation. And I mean that. Any translation you look at, they're understandable. But they're hard, really hard to do. Give up everything I own? Everything? Surfing? What? And now I want to make this personal. What do we own? Most of us are not millionaires. We're not. You know, I look around. See any millionaires in here? Well, you know. Most of us are not. Most of us are not. But was that what Jesus really meant? Is that really what he was talking about? I don't think so. I think he meant, are we willing to give up whatever we think is really important? Give up whatever we think is important in order to accept the free gift that God offers to us. I think that's what he meant. Now, I want to go one last time back to Luke 14, one verse, verse 27. Luke 14, verse 27, getting very close to the end here. Be sitting down not too long. Verse 27 of Luke 14, and whoever does not carry their cross, whoever does not carry their cross cannot be my disciple. This is Jesus, the one that I say I know fairly well. You know, I've been reading his book for quite a while. He wants me to carry a cross? What? What? Like I said, the words are not hard to understand. The action required is a little difficult to do. Family is really important, both physical and genetic, but also the family of God. The family of God. Us, we are important. How do we prove to God that we're important? How do I prove to you that I really care about you? Well, come to the family gatherings each week, like you are. I'm preaching to the choir, I know, and I'm happier here. Come to the family gatherings each week. The Father is here, but the Son's here too. They're here in spirit. They're here in spirit. And something that's coming up, keep the feasts. The feasts of God. Go to the feasts where it's a bigger family gathering. Think of all the ones that you've been to in the past. If you've had the privilege like we have of being to many, those are great family gatherings. But brethren, finish up, do even more. Do even more. Don't just sit there and listen to me, blah, 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 you know, go on like I do. And then afterwards, have a good time and drink coffee and eat snacks. Don't just do that. When you're out there having snacks, look around at those people that are there, your brothers and sisters. Those people that should be very close to your heart because they're close to God's heart. And tell them you're glad they're there. Talk to them and make them feel good that they came. So, last scripture, Luke 14, verse 16, Jesus replied with this story, a man gave a great feast, you know, I read that before, and they all made excuses. You know who the they are? They all made excuses. The they who made excuses are us. Jesus wasn't preaching to just blow hot air. He wanted us to think about it. That's us, brethren. You have been given, and I, we've been given a very personal invitation from the King of the Universe to attend that festival. Do you want to come or do you want to mess around? If you really want to attend, then do something. Look around you now and then after services. Realize that you can help. We're part of the family of God. Let's all prove it.